بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على أكرم الخلق سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. أياما معدودات. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب صائم ليس له من صيامه إلا الجوع، ورب قائم ليس له من قيامه إلا السحر. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث رواه أبو عبيدة رضي الله عنه: الصيام جنة ما لم يخرقها. وبعد. Respected علماء الكرام، حفاظ of the Quran الكريم، elders and friends in Islam، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Let's try and recite Durood Sharif, salutations upon our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As I request before commencing, is that if there are any gaps in front of us, then let us inshallah try and fill up those gaps. The sunnah as far as the Jumu'ah khutbah is concerned is to try and sit as close as possible to the minbar without leaving any gaps between us. This little movement that we make for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes actions which seem so trivial, but who knows, the one or two steps we take for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala may be the means of that step into Jannah, inshallah. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala limitlessly for the greatest favor that any person can be blessed with in the form of Iman and the beautiful and perfect deen of Islam. Now this is such a great favor that all the wealth of this world put together in the most valuable form cannot equate to even an atom's weight of Iman. For indeed, all the wealth of this world put together, as much as it may be, will eventually reach its termination and will be exhausted. Whereas Iman is that great spark that even in the minutest form, a person who leaves this world with it is guaranteed eternal happiness and bliss in the form of the beautiful gardens of Jannah. And may Allah Ta'ala make us amongst its inhabitants. We have the special and great favor, this great guest that is visiting us, and more than one third of its stay has already passed by us. Literally, less than 3 weeks of the stay of this great and auspicious guest remains with us. Now we know the most special action in the Mubarak month of Ramadan is fasting for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one hand, great virtues and benefits in observing the fast of the month of Ramadan. If one does so, the quality of Iman and Ihtisab, perfect Iman and Yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with the qualities of Ikhlas and full doubtless hope in the rewards promised by Allah ta'ala for fasting, then come the night of Eid, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. Like a newborn baby, every one of a person's past sins are completely forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a golden opportunity that has presented itself on our doorstep. On the other hand, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam issues a word of warning in this regard by saying in the hadith quoted that there are many a fasting person who only achieve hunger and nothing else through their fast. And there are many others who stand up in salah and achieve nothing in that standing up except having the inconvenience of staying awake. Now, a very stern word of warning by our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that one is to fast. We know the outer definition of fasting is that from dawn until dusk, to stay away from food, from drink, from cohabitation, with the express intention of fasting. This absolves one of the duty and the responsibility of observing the command of Allah Ta'ala, and this in itself is a great thing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person who forgoes a fast of Ramadan intentionally, then he may as well decide to fast for the rest of his life out of the month of Ramadan. It will not equate one fast missed in the month of Ramadan. We know, as far as a fiqh point of view, a person who intentionally breaks a fast in Ramadan without any excuse, over and above the qadha, would have to fast 60 days consecutively as an atonement, as a form of kafara. But the spiritual benefits and blessings that can be gained by fasting in the month of Ramadan can never be found at other times of the year. Now, in this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warns that there are many people who fast. They go through hunger, they go through thirst, but achieve nothing of a spiritual sense. The ulama have mentioned certain reasons for this. One is that a person may have observed the outer injunctions of fasting. However, one had at the time of sahri or suhoor or at the time of iftar partaken of food that is haram. Either it is haram in its own sense, or it may be that the food outwardly seems to be halal, but has been purchased with income that was acquired by means that are termed as haram or non-permissible in the eyes of Sharia. A second reason given by the ulama for this is that a person may have fasted, we may have stayed away from food and drink, but the day was wasted in sinful talk. One had backbited, one had slandered, one may have told lies, nonsensical talk, lewd and shameless talk. These are the means of depriving one of the spiritual benefits of fast. And still another reason given by the ulama is that a person may have fasted, but may have engaged in various kinds of sins other than what has been mentioned, the sins of the tongue. So one is to have partaken of haram food, the other is to have not guarded the tongue, and the third had been by means of involving ourself in some sin or the other while in the state of fasting. Now let us remember that the main objective of fasting throughout the month of Ramadan, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that you develop the quality of taqwa. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى, that you take with you as a provision. So as Rasulullah says in Africa, Patkos, our food for the journey towards the Akhirah, the best Allah Ta'ala says, is in the form of taqwa. The best provision that you can take with you on this journey towards the Akhirah is taqwa. وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ, the garb and clothing of taqwa, that is best in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the objective of this month of Ramadan is to see to it that come the night of Eid, and we are amongst the muttaqeen, the pious ones. And not just pious in the month of Ramadan. Tattaqun is from Sighatul Mudari'. In an Arabic grammatical term, it means with constancy and punctuality and consistency. In other words, taqwa and piety become second nature and part and parcel of your daily lives, even going out of the month of Ramadan. Let us keep this in mind, that the primary objective of fasting is taqwa. And what is taqwa? Many definitions have been given. It can be very closely translated as piety. It can also be very correctly translated as abstention from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. A very concise definition, ارتكاب الأوامر واجتناب النواهي, doing what Allah wants us to do and refraining from the prohibitions, from those things which Allah has prohibited us from. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, in giving a beautiful definition when he was asked what is the meaning of taqwa, he says, imagine yourself with the finest clothing, thin, very expensive clothing, and you've got to tread through a field that is filled with thorn trees and thorn bushes. How would you tread in such a place, being wary, treading very, very carefully so that the clothing does not get hooked onto the thorns and it is torn? Similarly, to thread through the path of life, avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions as ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And fasting has this very special relationship with abstention. The very literally in Arabic, fasting is called Sawm or As-Siyam. And if one goes deeper, then the literal basic meaning of Siyam is Al-Imsak, which means to abstain, to refrain, to stay away from. Let us also remember it is also termed the month Shahr al-Sabr, the month of patience, and patience has many connotations. Basically, patience is translated as Habsun Nafs, suppressing the nafs, suppressing one's natural desires and inclinations when it contradicts the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We look at the next hadith mentioned in the khutbah. In a similar vein, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warns us very, very strongly, As-siyamu junnatun ma lam yakhruqha, that fasting is the greatest protective shield as long as that shield is not torn and broken up. Fasting is a great protective shield for a person as long as that shield is not torn up, it is not broken up. Fasting is a shield. One, it is a shield from the evil ploys and plots of shaitan. It is, as we shall now enumerate in detail, a protective shield from the inclinations of the inner self, of the carnal desires of the nafs. And it is also a protective shield from the fire of Jahannam and the punishment of the hereafter. But there is a condition attached to it. مَا لَمْ يَخْرُقْهَا, as long as that shield is not broken or torn up. To understand this hadith, we look at a saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so wisely says that a person who while fasting engages in backbiting and telling lies has in actual fact broken one's fast. There are some jurists, though they are in the absolute minority, who opine that if one gets involved in backbiting and telling lies intentionally in fasting, I stress, albeit a minority, but some scholars opine that this actually does terminate the fast. The majority of ulama say that the absolving of the responsibility of fasting has been cast off one's shoulders, but the spiritual benefits of fasting has definitely, and the reward has most certainly diminished. The ulama, the mashayikh, have mentioned now under the elaboration of this hadith, six very, very important points that one should take absolute care of while fasting. And if one ensures the implementation of these 6 points, then one is inshallah guaranteed the acceptance of the fast. One is guaranteed the spiritual benefits of the fast that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has naturally kept within fasting in the month of Ramadan. The hadith once again that fasting is a protective shield as long as that shield is not wrenched and torn apart. First and foremost is that while we stay away from food and drink which is normally halal in fasting, we guard our eyesight from looking at haram. And this is may seem simple and trivial, but such an important command. Allah has dedicated 2 verses of the Quran in prohibiting the evil glance, the evil gaze that is casted. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, An-nadharatu sahmun min siham iblis. The evil gaze that is cast towards the opposite sex that Allah has forbidden, it is an arrow from the poisoned arrows of shaitan that will have a detrimental effect on your iman and spirituality. So many brothers within the congregation have asked and have remarked that the day we do not take care of our gaze in the work environment, there is no joy, there is no beauty in salah. And therefore, very simple to understand the further elaboration of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when you are tempted to look at haram, the attraction is there, the desire is very strong and burning from within. But at that moment we say, my beloved Allah does not want me to look. And nobody can see where I'm looking besides my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows the betrayal of the trust by means of the gaze. And Allah knows what is concealed in your hearts, the thoughts that are within our hearts and minds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of it. At that critical juncture, we lower the gaze for the pleasure of Allah and suppress the desire and the temptation. Subhanallah, what greater reward can you ask for? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you will be blessed with the ecstasy of Iman, the sweetness of which you will actually be able to taste. And what is the sweetness of Iman? That when you then come and recite Quran, when you perform Salah, when you go out and feed a poor person, the joy derived from that in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be described in words. So first and foremost, protecting our gaze from looking at haram, or looking at places where haram is taking place, or looking at those things that are of no benefit whatsoever. Second, and this is very, very important, that we protect and guard our tongues from utterances of haram. Just as we know there are many open sins, usury, interest, gambling, there are those sins that are the sins of the tongue. Backbiting, which is called ghiba, slandering, humiliating another person, defamation of character, statements of falsehood, false testimony, statements of injustice, and the list goes on and on and on. Statements, very importantly, that fracture and break the unity of the Muslim Ummah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has emphasized this point very, very strongly, that we guard our tongues while fasting. The most common of all, and one that we wish we have to be guardful of in fasting, is ghibat, backbiting. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once asked the Sahaba, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْغِيبَةِ. Do you know what is ghibat? What is backbiting? They said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam. Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know better. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defined it very simply, ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَحُ. In the absence of your brother or sister, you say such things regarding them that had they been present, they would have taken offense, they would have been hurt. Now our common response when being advised in this regard, someone tells us and advises us with a good heart that stop backbiting, what do we say? I'm merely narrating the facts. What I'm saying is true, I'm not telling lies. Sahaba posed the very same question, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, that, O Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if what I'm saying behind my brother's back is true, it is not falsehood, is it still ghiba? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that exactly is ghiba. If what you say is false, it is a separate sin, it is a different sin, it is called buhtan, false accusation and slandering. But ghibat is speaking the truth behind a person's back, that had he been present would have felt hurt or disliked what is being said about him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Kareem, so heinous is this action and so dislikable, has equated it to eating the flesh of a dead brother. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُهُ. In the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, two ladies who had fasted but were so overtaken with the pangs of hunger that they were on the brink of death. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was made aware of this. He told the companions that take two bowls and ask them to spit and to vomit into those bowls. They did as commanded. And to the utter amazement of everybody around there, blood and pieces of flesh came out. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that they may have fasted and stayed away from food and drink which is normally halal, but they had polluted the fast by speech that was haram in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the things is when the temptations of wrongful statements or even discussions that are of no benefit whatsoever, the temptation is there, let us say, I am fasting for the pleasure of my Allah, and refrain and abstain from that statement. So just as we are fasting from food and drink, the tongue fasts from haram. Third, that we guard our ears from listening to that which is haram, things which are openly declared haram in Shariat, listening to music, and also very importantly, just as uttering the statements of haram, ghibat, backbiting, slandering, falsehood, humiliating the character of a person, similarly, is it also a duty for us to refrain if we are not saying those statements, if we are not making those statements, to not be part and parcel of such a gathering and listen to those statements. Rasulullah has promised very beautifully, "Man radda an 'irdi akhihi radda Allahu 'an wajhihi an-nar yawm al-qiyamah." When the dignity of a Muslim is being impeded in your company in his absence, and you take it upon yourself to defend the dignity of that person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall defend and protect you from the fire of Jahannam. Fourthly, just as the tongue, the eyes and the ears refrain from haram, similarly our entire bodies, whether it is the hand, whether they are the hands, the feet do not walk towards haram, our cars are not used to driving towards gatherings of sin and haram, our minds and our hearts while fasting do not think and ponder haram, we do not fantasize on haram with our minds and let our emotions run away with us. When the temptation comes about, we say, "Inni sa'im," verily I am fasting. As the Messenger said regarding the tongue, that while you are fasting, if a person comes and picks an argument with you, then respond to say, "Inni sa'im," I am fasting, I am refraining from all kinds of wrong. Fifthly, that just as we stay away from food and drink during the fast, we also try and derive the maximum benefit of fasting, and that is one, to ensure that what we take is from halal means, but also at the same time, at the time of suhoor, at the time of breaking fast, later on in the evening, we refrain from overeating, we refrain from eating in Ramadan, sometimes sadly more than we eat at other times of the year. As Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala says, what is the use of fasting if in Ramadan, if you really calculate what you are eating, the luxurious and sumptuous meals, and the quantity that you are eating happens to be more than at other times, the objective of remaining hungry for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, though one will be absolved from the duty of fasting, those spiritual benefits would definitely be diminished. And the point being made here is that when a person overeats, then this is the perfect hunting ground for shaitan and the nafs and the desires. When a person starves oneself from overeating, then the hikmah and the words of wisdom come to the heart, and the effects of shaitan and the nafs are eradicated. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that shaitan flows in the body of a human being to try and inspire wrong things, just as your blood flows. So starve him off and keep him away by eating less and remaining hungry. And also we know one of the major objectives of fasting is to feel and sympathize with those who are in this state, the less fortunate ones, every day of their lives. So how will this be achieved if we merely alter the times of eating, we're eating the same or more quantities? On a lighter note, you know, in South African terms, one of the major preparations, Rasulullah used to make dua 2 months before the month of Ramadan, it's spiritual preparation. A South African Ramadan is not complete without our mothers and sisters with very good intentions, spending hours and hours in filling up the mortuaries, the freezers at home. Let us inshallah take lesson from the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to try and minimize. We are not saying that eat so little that you do not even have the strength to fast, but let us in the month of Ramadan minimize, derive the maximum spiritual benefit, and feel in the plight of those who daily are going through this. Bishr Hafi rahimahullah, very very pious person, once a person saw him on a very cold day removing his warm and excessive clothing, and he started shivering. Somebody said to him, "Is this the time to take off the clothes that keep you warm?" He says, "If I cannot find it in myself to sympathize with those who are poorer than me and cannot afford such clothing, then let me at least for a few moments feel how they feel." And sixth, very very important, on the completion of the fast. Once the fast has been completed at the time of iftar or at some time in the evening, let us take out special time to reflect on our intention during the fast. Was my intention for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala? Did I speak to my Allah in formulating my niyyah and my intention in this fast? And had my intention ikhlas and only for the pleasure and love of Allah remained consistent throughout the fast? What we are saying here is that the completion of the fast is let us be wary and let us make every effort to have that fast accepted by Allah Ta'ala. Therefore, on the completion of the fast, as on the completion of any good action, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. Oh Allah, there were many shortcomings from my side. I had not fulfilled the rites of this fast, but through your mercy and your rahmah, oh Allah, accept from me. Having the worry and concern of acceptance is indeed a sign of acceptance. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, when Allah bless him the opportunity of completing the building of the Kaaba Sharif, his famous dua was, oh Allah, this humble effort of mine has many weaknesses and shortcomings. Oh Allah, you bless it with qabuliyah and acceptance from your side. My respected Ustaz, Hazrat Hafiz Rahman, rahimahullah ta'ala, on whose hands literally thousands had done the hifz of the Quran Kareem. We were sitting in his company on an occasion when a very pious person, Hakim Akhtar Sahib, visited him and asked him, remarked to him, that wherever we have gone in this country, far out towns and little villages, small masajid and little dorpies, I have found some or the other of your student, either an imam or teaching the Quran, teaching hifz, teaching young little children how to read Quran. Tell me the amount of people who have done hifz on your hands. He shed some tears and responded to say that come to me on the day of judgment when my hisab and reckoning is complete with Allah, and I will tell you how many of them are qabul and accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So constant worry and concern of the qabuliyat and acceptance of our fasting and all other good actions. So basically, that as we stay away from food, from drink, the entire body, whether it is our eyes, whether it is our ears, whether it is our tongue, the rest of the body, we abstain from overeating, even at the times when we are allowed to eat, and we are constantly worried about the acceptance of this fast. The primary point here is abstention from anything that displeases my Allah and diminishes the reward of my fast. And this action, al-ijtinab anil haram, refraining and staying away from haram, has great value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such great value that we know in the history of humanity there were outstanding circumstances where Allah had allowed infant babies to speak in the cradle. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam had spoken, Juraij had spoken in favor of Juraij, and the third instance, the little child in the time of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. Now if one looks at the common factor in all of these instances, they all had spoken, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam in respect of his mother, the little child in favor of Juraij in the time of Bani Israel when he was accused of zina, and the little baby in the time of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam when he was also accused. All three miraculous events had happened in the pretext of speaking in favor of those who had refrained and stayed away from haram for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So heavy and so weighty is this in the eyes of Allah ta'ala. Ya Allah ta'ala, guide me firstly and all of us the ability to put to practice what has been said and thereby derive the maximum benefit through fasting in this great, mubarak, beloved month of Ramadan, inshallah. There's a reminder, inshallah, is a few announcements, is that first and foremost, the collection that will take place today after the Jummah Salah once again towards the maintenance of this beautiful masjid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, one of those things whose reward continues to accrue to the name of a person even after we have left this world. We are lying there in the darkness of our grave in desperate need of every little good. One is sadaqa jariya, spending for the cause of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as that facility where our expenditure had gone is being utilized, we will continuously accrue the reward even if we are doing nothing in practicality. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the sunnahs of the month of Ramadan was that he would become even more generous during the Mubarak month of Ramadan. His generosity is equated by the companions to a fast blowing wind. So let us inshallah, as we have done previously, whenever the appeal was made, let us open up our hearts, donate as generously as possible. The reward in the month of Ramadan is multiplied many, many fold, limitless rewards. Secondly is tomorrow evening inshallah, that is Saturday night, there will be a special program conducted after the Taraweeh Salah in the masjid under the auspices of the IMA, the Islamic Medical Association. Important advices will be given. Inshallah, let us try and participate in that program tomorrow night, Saturday night, after the Taraweeh Salah inshallah. And then also one of the special actions of Ramadan in which there are many, many benefits is itikaf, the sunnah of the itikaf during the last 10 nights. So those inshallah who are interested in participating in the itikaf of the last 10 nights in this masjid should please put their names down on the list that has been put up on the notice board towards my left hand side as we leave the masjid. Jazakumullah khairan.